ATA. Hey, D.A., let me aboard that mothership.
Permission to board that mothership, sir.
Well, you know I had to slide through the intergalactic swag party.
D.A., man, beam me up. What's going on, my brother from another mother? Beam me up.
You guys are the best.
You guys make it.
Permission to board that mothership.
Mothership has connected.
And you the man, D.A.
America, the mothership has connected. Welcome aboard. It's the 4-hour black hole block party. DA with you from the CBS Sports Radio studios in New York City, broadcasting to affiliates nationwide and north of the border. Anchorage to Atlanta, Vegas to Valdosta, Kalamazoo and Waterloo, we are on the air.
They listening, D.A. Everything we saying, D.A. Everything.
How we doing, everybody? Thanks so much for joining us. Good Wednesday to you. Coming up this morning on the show, the final Canadian bacon of the year. Or is it? Game 5 last night goes to the Golden Knights, and they win their first Stanley Cup in franchise history, the long-storied franchise history of the Golden Knights, dating back an entire 6 years. And so Vegas is now Stanley Cup champs. We'll talk about that this morning. Canadian bacon comes your way. Mraz anchoring at the top of hour number 4. Also, we'll go out to Denver and get the breakdown of the party in the Mile High City as the Nuggets champions. Brandon Cristal is going to join us from KOA Radio in Denver in hour number 3. And we'll talk some baseball. 3-time World Series champion John Lester will join us also hour number 4. This hour, sound check in 20. And in 40 minutes, a Wednesday staple. We've got champs and we've got chumps. We begin in Buffalo, where the Bills are wondering, what's eating Stephon Diggs? Maybe the Bills know, but seemingly nobody else does. Adam Schefter is as connected as any reporter could be for his or her sport. And the report from Schefter was, we've heard he's disgruntled, but we don't know why. Even Schefter doesn't know why? Why is this such a mystery? That Stephon Diggs is angry at something. Is it money? Is it role? Is it Josh Allen? Is it coaching? Is it scheme? Is it weather? What exactly is upsetting Stephon Diggs? And if Diggs isn't showing up now and Sean McDermott says yesterday, I don't want to talk about it, is this fixable or is he trying to force his way out? It is where we begin, your cold open.
Steph is not here. Everybody else is here at the current time.
How concerned are you about that?
Oh, very concerned. Yeah, very concerned. I'm not going to get into, and listen, I respect everyone's questions and what they want to know about our team. Right now, I'm not going to get into that anymore. So we'll talk about practice. Happy to do that. Happy to answer those questions. And we'll move forward from there.
I've got no doubts that we will figure out what's going on, and I freaking love them. I can't stress that enough. You know, there's things that I could do better, and you know, to help out with this process and try to get him back here and you know, be the Buffalo Bill that he's meant to be. I think that there are some things that could have gone better last year and didn't, and just, you know, I think we're just as an organization maybe not communicating the right way with everything. So again, just trying to talk and listen at the same time and hear him out and like I said, just try to move this forward as quickly and as respectfully as, you know, as possible.
I don't believe it!
The most amazing, sensational, dramatic, heart-rending.
It's DA's top story.
Here he goes!
It's your cold open.
So that was Sean McDermott and Josh Allen. Bills are holding mandatory minicamp and Diggs isn't there. So you heard some interesting buzzwords. Allen saying there's things I could have done better. There's Sean McDermott saying that he is, quote, very concerned. And Allen saying internally we're working on some things not football related. So there is something about the relationship between Diggs and Allen, or Diggs, Allen, and the organization, or Diggs versus everybody, Diggs versus the world, that is broken. And so let's piece this together. Number one, the Buffalo Bills need Stephon Diggs. This is an AFC that is stacked top to bottom. This is an AFC East that is stacked. This is a conference and a division where for the Bills to be a Super Bowl contender, they really do need Stephon Diggs. In the football world, you can get rid of guys and slide other guys in, and nobody is really all that impossible to replace. I mean, a quarterback, of course, but outside of the quarterback position, hard to find guys that you can't even come close to replicating. And even the quarterback position, look at the San Francisco 49ers, could tell you that, hey, you have the right organization, the right coaching, the right talent around you. You could even swap that position. But for the Bills, you look at the division specifically, and the Miami Dolphins obviously have big play weapons in Jalen Waddle and Tyreek Hill, and an offense that, when two is healthy, puts up points. In New York, you add Aaron Rodgers to an offense that has seemingly big play capabilities, but now at least competent quarterbacking. In New England, maybe a little bit less, although they have invested a little bit on the offensive side for some wide receiver help as well from Mac Jones. And that's just getting out of the AFC East. In the AFC in general, the only way you are going to topple the Kansas City Chiefs in the playoffs is if you have a big play threat that comes in the form of Stephon Diggs. Because let's face it, the Bills last year were lacking even with Diggs at the wide receiver position. If it's not the Chiefs, it's the Bengals. And I'm not saying you have to have Ja'Marr Chase, but it's hard to beat the Bengals if you don't have somebody that Josh Allen could go out there and make big plays like the Bengals could as well. And then take your pick of the other very good AFC teams. The Bills really do need Diggs and really do need to figure this out, because they don't have a 1A, they don't have a 1B, they don't have a young rookie that you can say, okay, if Diggs is unhappy, we'll give those touches and those catches to this guy. There's just not that guy waiting in the wings. That's the problem here, because B, this just feels like another diva wide receiver. I know there's a lot of players around the NFL that feel like they got to get theirs. They want more respect, more money, more touches, more whatever. That happens a lot. But how many times does this narrative circle around the wide receiver? It's always the wide receiver. It's always the wide receiver pouting, stomping his hands, screaming in the middle of the night like AJ when he wants to be fed. Rah! 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 And you know what I say to the Bourbon Bell? We've got to work on things internally. You know what I say to the, you know what I say to the Bourbon Bell? There are things I could have done better here. You know what I say to the Bourbon Bell when at 3 in the morning I got to hand him off? I go, I'm, quote, very concerned. So I don't know why it's always the freaking wide receivers, but this is just, Diggs is a drama queen. Let's face it. There is a part of Diggs that is a drama queen. It is why the Bills aren't his first team and won't be his last team. That there was this with the Vikings for some reason, and now there's this with the Bills. And so there's an expiration date on Stephon Diggs' happiness. And it's exhausting when these wide receivers do it. But you make the deal with the devil. And when you hear Josh Allen say, we're working through some things, and he's my guy, he'll always be my guy, I want what's best for him. This is a quarterback that understands two roles. Number one, trying to make sure the guys know that you've got their backs. But number two, he knows he needs them. 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. Twitter, DA on CBS. The thing I don't understand is, how does Schefter or Rappaport not know why Diggs is unhappy? And if they do know, why would they not report it? If he's unhappy about a contract, fine. That's reported all the time. Unhappy about his role in the offense? Happens all the time. when Diggs is flailing at Josh Allen at the end of the playoff loss against the Bengals, what is that about? Is it just that they're losing and he's frustrated that he wants to win? That's what we were told. Or is there something more? That he doesn't trust the quarterback? He felt like the quarterback didn't have his back in a team meeting or something like this? What is this? Why is this not being reported? When people are unhappy in the NFL, everybody knows why. But this guy's not showing up and all the insiders can't tell us why? Does this suggest that this is a little bit more theatrical or soap operatic than your normal wide receiver unhappy with touches?
I think that we now have crossed over to the Page Six territory where it's very uncomfortable for Adam Schefter or Rappaport to go this route. But look, we know the stories about his girlfriend or soon-to-be wife breaking up with him, unfollowing him on Instagram, and her friends, there's all screenshots posting, taking husband applications for it, tagging it, and there was like wild Reddit Instagram rumors, they're not mine, that Josh Allen impregnated a bartender in Buffalo before the playoff game with Cincinnati, and that story had come out, and that was a big story in the Bills locker room, and it was the reason people thought Allen wasn't as like on top of the game versus the Bengals, and Diggs was spent screaming. Now, these are completely unfounded, but there's enough Instagram breadcrumbs from Brittany Williams' ex-girlfriend's friends posting stuff over the last couple months that it feels like Diggs thinks that Allen is not that kind of leader and his head wasn't on straight.
Okay, so I didn't know any of this.
I thought we had discussed this on the air a couple months ago. Was that just with Bogues?
Probably Bogues, because I didn't know any of this.
Okay.
So before the playoff game, did you say Diggs got his girlfriend broke up
Allen.
With him?
Okay.
This is all Josh Allen.
So Josh Allen, the girl that was at the draft, that became his fiance, that we had seen a million times in boxes, her name is Brittany Williams, okay? Brittany Williams, some couple months, or it might have even been October, suddenly unfollowed Josh Allen out of nowhere on social media, and people noticed it because it's a tight-knit group up in Buffalo. And as the story goes, Josh Allen had...
Is this right around when I went up there for the Vikings game?
Right around there. Right around there.
Okay.
Okay. It led to, at times, Josh Allen's, that girl, Brittany Williams, being on Instagram with her friends. Her friends tagging her, including this one, Carr Brooke, taking husband applications for her.
For her. Okay, so that at that point, Josh Allen's broken up with his girlfriend.
Broken up. Josh Allen refused to give anything.
She didn't like that he threw two red zone interceptions against the Vikings.
I want to make this clear. This is not my room. Complete gossip rumors emerged in the immediacy of losing the playoff game that why all of a sudden things went in the tank with Diggs exploding on him was the rumor out there is that Josh Allen got a bartender in Buffalo pregnant. And that this story...
The wings are really good.
That this became public, or either she became positive, or like the girlfriend, right ahead of the playoffs with the Bengals. And they imploded. And the idea was Diggs, who was passionately seen screaming on the sideline, was so frustrated that Allen's, you know, lack of focus on the team and more focus on this was costing the team. And that you hear Josh Allen talk about things he could have done better, that it's their relationship that's completely strained now, that Diggs really thought they lost an opportunity to win because he was sleeping around.
So that is interesting. If that's the case here, wow, I didn't know any of this.
You finish, I just want to say, I think that is why Schefter would not go that route, because it just seems odd for an NFL reporter to go Page 60.
Yeah, he can't do that.
Right.
You're right. He can't do that. That must be the reason. But it seems odd that Stephon Diggs is that upset that his quarterback broke up with his girlfriend. I mean, you've got to imagine that stuff happens all of the time in NFL locker rooms. Like, all of these guys, few of them have rock solid relationships in their mid-20s that don't go through something. I mean, I'm sure plenty of teammates in that locker room end up sleeping around town or having whatever relations based on Instagrams and DMs and what have you. So that seems like such a weird thing to like have a war over.
Well,
it's not football.
Let's not pretend.
I guess it is football if you think it's connected to football.
Well, I was going to say, and let's not pretend Diggs is innocent. I mean, during a playoff win for once with Kirk Cousins, he was still screaming at Kirk Cousins
right
on the sideline. So clearly I don't think something's all there with like Diggs and that mentality, but I mean, in that locker room, it's got to be boiling over that you keep knocking on the door. The year before is the 13 seconds with the Chiefs, that you were so close. You're pouring everything into this. And somebody like Diggs, who I think probably caring too much is the wrong word, but cares in weird ways. Maybe they really looked at last year as like, this is finally the year. And then it felt like to him, we're all pouring our work in here, bro, and you're letting your dirty laundry seep in and you're not focused here and we're losing games.
Well, I guess we would have some evidence if we're now 6 months from the playoff game and she's got to be pretty far along, right? If there's a little Josh Allen on the way.
I don't know if there's officially a little Josh Allen on the way. Who knows? I'm not going to get into any of that. Again, we don't know what happened with it. All I know is this.
There's an AJ, maybe now a little JA.
You have NFL reporters plugged in who can't figure out what's going on, and Josh Allen himself saying he could have done things better. And we know for a fact he broke up with the girlfriend and her, that whole Instagram unfollow thing. I mean, there's enough there that makes you wonder. There's something here that doesn't make sense.
Wow, well, how about that for a cold open? Here I am going, why don't we know what's happening? What could it be? Why can't they say it then? My question is answered by Mraz in the same segment. I guess this potentially could be why.
Could be why. And I don't want to hear about money. Diggs is getting paid almost as much as any receiver right now.
Right.
So it can't be that.
Yeah.
There you have it. Good show, Ed.
Oh, wow.
She's a bad girl, David.
And my apologies. I thought we had discussed this rumor on the air with you.
No.
Well, everybody's been off a million times, so maybe we didn't get into it.
No. The only thing I knew about Buffalo was freaking Bar Bill Wings and
Google it in the,
up there.
Google it in the break. Now I feel like I left you hanging. Google it in the break. You could read up on all the stuff.
No, I got a good, that was a good summit. Carlos with a K in for Pete the Body today. When we come back here on the show, we've got Soundcheck, your best audio of the day. Odell is at Ravens minicamp, and JR gets a call from an emotional A's fan last night. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
CBS presents this program in color.
An educated person can't think he's going to get a recruit by strippers coming in.
They can fire you, but they can't eat you.
And they run through our ass like through a tin horn, man, and we could not stop them.
The audio you need to hear. It's DA Soundcheck.
All right, you can always watch the show, and I highly encourage you to get familiar with watching the show for Friday because the Bob's Bar extravaganza is going to be all a visual blur of ridiculousness. That is available on YouTube. Go to the CBS Sports Radio channel on YouTube for the live show every single day and the archive show, also on Twitch. And you can also watch us at watchda.com. That's mobile friendly. Soundcheck begins on the football side of things with Sean McVay. The Los Angeles Rams going through a rebuild, right? Right? Right?
I'm really excited about working with this team. You can see there's been just tangible evidence of improvement every single day. Let's continue to be in the moment. Let's enjoy it. And these guys are fun to coach and feel the same way on the defensive side of the ball. A lot of young guys that are out there playing on teams as well. So as we know and has been well documented, there'll be a lot of youth, but there's still some really great veteran leadership here.
Yeah, I don't think he actually says that they're going to be good. He just is super excited about coaching all these guys. A lot of veterans, a lot of young guys. I really like this team. Vegas is over under is 6.5 wins for the Los Angeles Rams. Over or under?
Under. I think they win exactly 6. They will have a win or two you don't expect.
I would agree. But they're a 6-11 team, you think?
Yeah, I think 6-11. And McVay is auditioning maybe for Brady's job he doesn't want on Fox next year.
Right. McVay's got one foot out the door. You know, he's done this for a long time. At some point, you got to hang him up. It's been a lifetime in football for Sean McVay.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, everybody says you want to get out of coaching before your 40th birthday.
Exactly. You know, they always say you don't want to burn out by coaching past 36. you want to get out. You want to get out when your message is still fresh.
There's nothing sadder than showing up to your 20th high school reunion and you're still an NFL coach.
McVay's just going to be exhausted by a lifetime in football. I mean, how long has this been? 7 years as a head coach? Oh, my God. Oy. He's been a head coach since, like, 2016 or something? Let this guy go already. Let him just ride off into the sunset. Hasn't he given you enough, Rams? Why are you holding him hostage? Ask him to coach more. Oh. Let the guy move on and do something else in his life. He's only got a few more years left of this earth. He's going to be 40 in a few years. Let him go. Here is one of his former players, Odell, who arrived at Ravens minicamp. And Odell, oh, he's got that chip on his shoulder.
I've been doubted all my life, so that's really, you know, for the other people to do, and that's their own, you know, that's what they got going on. That's not what I got going on. But yeah, the time off just allowed me to grow and learn. If you think about it, it was the longest season for me ever because we made it to the Super Bowl. I also had started training since last November consistently. So I was training, you know, it was just a long season. I was at the end. I remember, you know, Cooper Kupp and I looked at each other and I was like, I'm happy this is the last week because I can't do another one. So the doubts is for whoever has them to have them, but that's not what enters my mind and my body.
It's just so funny when athletes do the, I've been doubted my entire life. No. Mm-mm. When at 10 years old, you're the best wide receiver in your youth league or the best player in your youth league, you're definitely not being doubted. When in high school, colleges like LSU are recruiting you, you're definitely not being doubted. When you're the 12th pick overall in the draft, maybe there were 11 teams that doubted you, but the rest of the league didn't. When you make 3 consecutive Pro Bowls, nobody's really doubting you. When in those 3 years, you were widely considered one of the best wide receivers in football, and some at that time might have called you the best wide receiver in football, you're definitely not being doubted. And so it's so exhausting. Now, these days, sure. If you want to say that Odell can turn around and say people think that his career is over, absolutely. Doubt that he could be productive, explosive, a great wide receiver again, yes. But just don't say all my life. Just don't say that, because like the other role that the rest of humanity has is we were all way worse than you at football for our entire lives, and you were the chosen one. We were doubted because we stunk way more than you did on the football field. You got huge money contracts, sneaker deals, drafted in the first round of the NFL draft, played for a massive, huge football program. You think that's being doubted? Finally, here's JR. You know, JR is the best because he's taking phone calls all night. He's got takes. He's also got empathy. And last night, A's fans went to the reverse boycott. Might have been symbolically the end of the A's in Oakland, as yesterday Vegas lawmakers did clear the way, did vote yes to giving John Fisher taxpayer money, which is a sin, but it happened. And so here's a distraught A's fan calling up JR. And the only thing I would ask from an A's fan here is just show JR some respect.
Ricardo, he's calling from Oakland. You're on the JR Sport Brief Show. What's up, Ricardo?
Can you hear me?
I can hear you. How you doing?
JT, I'm very emotional tonight. So oh, just crap. Bear with me.
Okay. Call me JT, but it's
JR.
JT. I mean, JT, I'm sorry.
It's okay.
I'm sitting in the parking lot.
Oh, no.
One of the most amazing events in I'm not talking Major League Baseball. I'm talking about sports history. Tonight, my city of Oakland showed the world, Commissioner Manfred, how passionate fans are. What we did tonight was special. Forget about the game. The game was okay. We're not talking about the game, but the game was special, JT. It was JR, I'm sorry, man. I'm just a little emotional and I'm not putting on here. Oakland is soul-searching tonight, and it came through.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Ricardo. Wow. It sucks they're going to move them to Vegas.
Okay. Now, you guys know how supportive I've been of A's fans and keeping the A's in Oakland. So
I don't want to be flippant about this guy's emotion. I'm sure that's a crushing moment last night when you realize, my God, my favorite team is going to move. And that was an awesome event. Awesome event. And I wish I could have been there. I really, really wish I could have been there. That's the type of stuff that I live for. I just want to separate that for a second. That call is awesome because he starts by crying, ends with crying, and in between, Cole JR, JT, and JG.
And then, JT, I'm sorry.
Then finally gets to JR.
I thought there was a
JG.
A Jake T in there, like a Jake.
Jake, was there a Jake?
Yeah.
Jake T.
I don't know.
We're sort of chef coughing into the JR thing at that point.
And can I point out, I was here last Thursday night, so I got a Shep visual. That guy was running the board in a sleeveless t-shirt.
Wow.
It smelled like a gym locker in that room.
Tank top.
Yeah.
Wow.
I don't know if there's like that's a more strenuous board hopping ship. Do you need to have gym apparel on?
That's not a first for Shep. I've seen that before.
Because Shep will come directly from here from a run or maybe from the gym or something. Walk.
I've seen him work in a tank top before.
Or basketball practice.
Yeah.
Whew. You know, in some ways, I have to apologize to Mraz because I've laid down the law, no sweatpants if you're working on this show.
Yeah.
But I think I would prefer sweatpants over a sleeveless tank top.
You should, next time the kid can't sleep, take a long drive down here to a different day part and walk around and see what Sean isn't. And you might cut him a little more slack around here.
So you're saying that overnight and nights are just lawless?
All I'm saying is that the last thing I wanted to see at 11:15 on a Thursday after a terrible Met loss in Atlanta anchoring the postgame show was to come down here and see Shep's armpits.
Did he shave the armpits?
No.
So they were...
They were... He seems to grow it well.
They were healthy.
Very healthy. Robust.
So he had carrot top and a headlock.
I think a plane could crash in there and kids could survive for a couple of weeks.
On cassava flour?
To beef up the padding if Schwartz gives him the business on Friday. I did want to add, though, part of the reason I played that clip, I was curious to hear your guys' reaction. I have been crushed for crying about my teams and taking them too seriously before in the show. I just want to see if you guys are going to side with this guy and then thus come across
it's different. It's different.
Is it?
Yes, because yes, you cry over players retiring, players getting traded, the team losing. This is a man that has lost his entire well-being because his favorite team is gone. It's leaving. Your team will always be there. Your teams aren't moving. Your players may change, but your franchise is always there. If the Yankees up and left for Toledo, I would allow you to cry.
I don't think I would because I'd just order the package and watch them in Toledo.
The Toledo Yankees,
well,
you'd be
fans leave and relocate to other for jobs and stuff. Do they start crying because they're leaving their teams behind? It's the same thing. You're just not near them. They still exist. Doesn't mean it doesn't suck. It's not like they're dissolving as a franchise. He could be an A's fan. They just play further away.
I mean, I don't know that I would cry.
And he can't cry that he's not going to games. He probably wasn't anyway.
Who's to say that Ricardo's not going to games? You
don't
know.
He's the guy banging the drum in center field?
You don't know. I don't think I would cry either, but if the Mets left New York to relocate to Tulsa, I would be emotionally broken. Yes, they would be the Tulsa Mets, and yes, I could watch them on the package, but that would be really crushing internally if my favorite team left town.
I agree. Look, I'm a crier. I love a good cry. So I respect him for crying. I'm just, you know, you guys have now picked and choose when you can cry. I cried when Jeter talked about the passage of time, what it meant. It's the same thing. I like seeing the glass house here.
The Jeter one is a little bit more understandable because it represented more than just a player leaving. It represented, as you said, childhood passing. But you cried when Callahan was traded. I mean, that's
your captain. You never see him in that uniform.
But you acted like he died. You acted like
he died. And look, if you cry after a really bad loss, it just sucks when you feel like you're the only person related to the team that's putting any emotion into this thing.
This is a real death. I mean, like, if your favorite player died, that would be akin to your team leaving. That'd be different.
I
would allow you to cry.
Yeah, I mean, I think the player dying is worse. They're never coming back. The team at least exists, though.
Like, a Baltimore Colts fan that watched the team go to Indianapolis is not supposed to feel emotionally broken.
No, they are.
Browns fans that watch them become the Baltimore Ravens, they're allowed to cry. Those people are allowed to cry. You can't just say, like, why don't you just become a Ravens fan?
I think you're allowed to cry about anything. Unless you're Pete, then you just cry about everything, and we've had it.
I mean, at least Sean is consistent, because we have the negative of the crying up against the positive of his week one explosion after Giants-Titans.
Yeah.
So at least he lives on both ends of the spectrum.
Right. That's true.
Mine eyes.
Mine eyes! The Giants are 1-0! Mine eyes! And that's your sound check. Standing by, headlined this morning, another champion crowned as a kind sir, Andrew Bogish.
DA, it's all sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Progressive can protect your home, auto, boat, motorcycle, ATV, RV, and more. Insured a lot of things, so bundle today at progressive.com. Yes, all the gambling and casino puns apply. Now that the Vegas Golden Knights own the Stanley Cup in year 6 of their existence, Game 5 with the Panthers last night, as close as Sean is to losing 100 pounds by any of his daughter's birthdays.
Bennett looking cross-eyed. Stone intercepts. This time he sends it down in a waffle. And go into the goal! It's a hat-trick! In the clincher, Mark Stone, the captain, makes it 8-3 Golden Knights with 6 minutes to go in the third period.
That's Was right. that rude?
That's not right. That's not
yeah,
right.
Yeah, it's the first hour, too.
And look,
starting we can, strong today.
We can make the mile marker AJ's high school graduation. He's got 18
Wait,
years.
We just reset the clock?
18 yeah. years he's got.
Well, DA's going to gain and have to lose 100 pounds by AJ's high school graduation.
Me and Mraz in 2040 will go on our big diet weight loss plan. AJ's going to be high school class of 2042. Okay.
Are they going to have high schools
2042?
Then?
2042, that's high school.
Adam Driver just flew into that year.
So so in 2040, I'll have gained 100 pounds, and then me and you can do some weight loss Oof. Challenge here on the show. It'll be...
quarter mile into the Table Rock hike, we're going to be huffing and puffing.
Yeah.
Could you gain and lose 100 before he loses 100?
Yeah.
I think so.
He said so confidently.
Yeah, yeah. It would be hard for me to gain 100 pounds. My frame's not necessarily, I think, built for 100 pound weight gain.
It's not as hard as you think.
It might not be. But I could lose 100 pounds pretty quickly because I have far more discipline than Mraz. And I've already instituted some things in my life that I know are limitations eating wise, exercise wise. I have some fundamentals to where I could lose it a lot faster than
No,
him.
You don't, because you don't understand. I don't have the fundamentals because I already lost them by gaining that 100 pounds. You think you have fundamentals now, but if you let them go and abandon them to lose the 100, your mental capabilities are shot now. You cannot lose them as fast.
I don't know. You have a little bit of muscle memory. It's kind of like Kerry Collins having that resurgence with the Giants. He was once a good quarterback, then got into booze and stuff and became fat and out of shape. But then he could get back to it because there were some fundamentals at the base.
I guess. Still got blanked at a Super Bowl and ended up with the Raiders and Titans after.
And there are actors that gain weight for roles and then cut it right off.
Brendan Fraser?
Yeah, you don't just forget
how to be thin. No, he wore a fat suit.
He got a little fat, though.
A little fat?
Yeah, he got fat in the face to make it easier, apparently, for the CGI stuff to work.
There's been some guys that gain a lot of weight for roles. Yeah. And then
you know what? When I got hired for the DA show, they're like, we need the fat guy. Please eat a lot of Otis Spunkmeyers. We need you right for the overnight years.
So if you want to lose 100 pounds, just get off the show.
Yeah. You're actually not that far off, considering now our bosses like that you're the funny, crazy fat guy. They encourage that. They want you face first into a box of Entenmann's every morning.
Yeah, you should go back and look if you have receipts. Maybe you can get like a tax write-off.
Good point.
For all the food you ate and prep for this job.
There's no business doubt. Expenses.
Business. Supersized at 97.
Business expenses.
Pete, can we cover this?
Imagine telling your accountant that. Look, they're demanding I'm the fat guy. Here's my Wendy's order from Tuesday, May the 13th. Here's my KFC order from June the 6th. I didn't want to eat that. I think I wanted a second Baconator.
I was just following orders. The highlight, by the way, was Dan Duva on Golden Knights Radio.
I got mouths to feed, including my own.
Actually, it's just one at the moment. Looks like four, but it's just one. Mark Stone, the first Stanley Cup hat trick since Peter Forsberg in 96. A 9-3 rout last night to lift the cup. This one was over when Vegas scored four times in the final 10.5 minutes of the second period. Jack Eichel had three assists, but neither he nor Stone was named playoff MVP. The Conn Smythe Trophy instead went to Canadian bacon legend Jonathan
Marchessault. I woke up saying that. That's how pathetic my life is. I woke up saying Marchessault.
Isn't that ironic that he wins the Conn Smythe?
He should thank us. We've made him a household name.
Really, that's for sure.
I got to be honest. Before that call and sound check, I didn't know the A's might be leaving Oakland.
haven't covered it here.
No. Nearly 28,000 people at this reverse.
Instead of sound check, I'm going to do a daily segment called the Vegas A's. Every day I do a segment on the Vegas A's.
So nearly 28,000 people actually went to an A's game last night. There were angry T-shirts. There were signs. They were chanting mean things at Khaki Pants King John Fisher.
Yeah.
And then they saw another win.
Here's the pitch by May with the A's leading 2-1. And it's swung on and missed.
A 2-1 win over the Rays. That's a 7-game win streak, courtesy of A's Radio. However, that win and the protest came after the Nevada Senate finally approved $380 million of public funding for that new stadium on the Strip. The Astros hit four solo homers in a 6-1 win over the Nationals. The Rockies, a 7-6 win in 10 at Fenway. And the Angels won again in Texas, 7-3. Mm. They've taken 8 of 9 overall, while the Rangers have dropped 5 of 6. Now just 4.5 games separate them atop the AL West. On NL grass, the Dodgers took care of the White Sox 5-1. The Phillies snapped the Diamondbacks' 6-game win streak with a 15-3 rout. And the Yankees outscored the Mets 7-6. Max Scherzer allowed 6 in 3 1/3, then Mets reliever Drew Smith got tossed before the 7th for sticky hands. And the PGA Tour said last night, embattled Commissioner Jay Monahan dealing with an unspecified health issue, so others are handling the day-to-day ops for the moment. DA, back to you.
Thank you, Bogues. When we come back, a Wednesday staple, Champs and Chumps, DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Only one letter separates them, but they're galaxies apart. One is a true winner. One is a pathetic loser. This is DA's Champ or Chump.
Your champs, Oregon and Oral Roberts from last weekend. What a series this was in a route to the College World Series. Oregon in game one overcame an 8-run deficit and did so with an RBI single in the bottom of the 9th inning, which snapped Oral Roberts' 21-game win streak. So game one was bonkers. Game two, Oral Roberts won on a double RBI walk-off single after trailing by 3 in the 7th inning. So game one was a historic comeback won by Oregon. Game two was a walk-off, another walk-off, after Oral Roberts overcame a 7-4 deficit. And then game three, the tie-breaking game of the series, Oral Roberts ends up winning, which sends them to their first College World Series since 1978. Back in 78, Oral Roberts was known as the Titans, and they were an independent. So that's how long it's been. So that series capped off by ORU's run to the World Series. They are the lowest seed to make the College World Series since Stony Brook more than a decade ago. That was a great series. That was great action. It had everything. ORU and Oregon, you guys were champs.
That's DA's champ.
Your chump, James Harden, because Doc Rivers was on the Bill Simmons podcast and talked about what it was like to coach James Harden. Now, we have the backdrop of Harden seemingly didn't like Doc and might have been one of the big reasons that Doc got fired. How was it coaching Harden? Rivers saying, quote, "It was challenging, more because we were fighting on two fronts. James is so good at playing one way, and the way I believe you have to play to win in some ways is different. It's a lot of giving up the ball, moving the ball, coming back to the ball. I would have loved to have had him younger when that was easier for him, because giving up the ball and getting it back is hard. It's physical. It's exhausting. It would have been interesting if I would have had him younger and he could have done that more, coming off the dribble, handoffs, coming downhill. So here is Doc really explaining why James Harden was a handful early in his career, but you could deal with it. Now it's impossible. Because if you want ball movement, if you want passing, if you don't want it to just die in Harden's hands, there's nowhere you can go, because he didn't have A, the mentality, B, the energy to be moving and to be giving it up. He doesn't want to, and he's not young enough anymore to make it work. So you've got a ball stopper late in his career who doesn't want to change. Sure you want to give him money? James Harden is the chump.
That's DA's chump. Class is now dismissed.
This is not good. I got this email from John in Washington, who says, D.A. Mraz is in trouble. And the article says, with obesity, the brain's response to nutrients remains impaired even after weight loss. A study adds to mounting evidence that obesity is far more complex than just how much one eats. The new paper, published in Nature Metabolism, used brain imaging to determine that even after 30 people with obesity lost 10% of their body weight, their responses to nutrients in the gut were still impaired. In contrast, 28 people who were thin, whose brains appeared to signal they'd received food, no longer needed more. In other words, even after you lose weight, your brain could keep telling you, if you had been obese, eat more, eat more, eat more, even if you don't need to eat more, because previously you had kind of laid that groundwork.
I'm very much aware of that. I'm very much on medication for that exact body issue.
Is that helping?
Yeah. Yeah. Can you see my face? You know what? That was such a patron.
Well, you're kind of covered up by the screen. But yeah, you know, you lost a chin.
I did lose one chin. I have to lose several chins, but one's gone. One's gone.
Okay, cool. So the medication's been working.
It actually has been. Yes, it has been. Yes.
All right.
I'm seeing things I haven't seen in years.
Oh, boy. When we come back here on the show, the Knights are hoisting the Stanley Cup. We'll talk about a championship to Vegas next. DA, CBS Sports Radio.